plate tectonics, that's on the same level as evolution. You know, people are trying to squeeze evolution into the Bible by saying this is what God did. And you know what? Plate tectonics is the same thing, that neither one has biblical support.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Welcome to the brightest audience in the country. This is Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Fred, this week, I want to welcome Brian Lauer, creation speaker and evangelist. Brian, I was out. I was otherwise engaged. I missed the whole Hydroplate week of celebration. We have to have you give us an update on what happened with celebrating the work of Walt Brown and the Hydroplate theory. Welcome to Real Science Radio, Brian Lauer.
Well, thank you, Doug. And just for your benefit, you can see everything at a YouTube channel. We got it all recorded, and it's Hydroplate Week of Celebration. That's the YouTube channel. You can see the whole night, every night. We took the interviews and we clipped them so you can listen to specific interviews. And then we even made highlights of that. And during this process, and I encourage people, if you can only listen to one, listen to Pastor Kevin Lees, you know, because he went through, because the main thing I wanted to do is just honor Walt Brown, and that's by getting this theory into the next generation, because if we fail at that, all his work is just going to go fade into history, and we can't count on the secular scientists to do it, and tragically, even right now, we can't count on the creation scientists to do it, so this is a grassroots movement that we need to do, and it's a lot of fun. And then the other thing was I wanted to give people an opportunity to think, about flood models. Because if the only you need to see two sides if you want to think, but that's not happening. And that's what the blind chancers do at the Big Bang and evolution. They just teach one perspective as dogma, so people just memorize and conform instead of think. And as Christians, we should have a higher standard than that. You know, if there's two models out there, put them out there, and then people can come to their own conclusion. And what we have is, it's, you know, it's like that saying, beware of one hand clapping. There's two sides to every story. And if you only see one side over and over being taught as dogma, which is what's happening in the flood models in the creation museums, it's probably because the truth is being censored by those who can do it. And then the third process was, third goal for the week of celebration was to throw out the Hydroplate protocol. Walt Brown says that before a paper gets published, they should have a list of predictions. You know, if their ideas are right, this is what we should suspect to happen in the future. Yeah. And that's the Hydroplate protocol. And also, and if it's a Christian one, it should be a show your biblical support. And the Hydroplate theory has so much more biblical support than the catastrophic plate tectonic theory. And I'm looking at it, and it's like, you know what? The plate tectonics, that's on the same level as evolution. You know, people are trying to squeeze evolution into the Bible by saying this is what God did. And you know what? Plate tectonics is the same thing, that neither one has biblical support. And yet we're trying to squeeze that into the Bible by speeding it up.
Brian,
that we
wait
should
a second.
Bible verses. Yeah.
I don't think that's ever been said in public. A catastrophic plate tectonics is on par with, what did you say?
I said plate tectonics is on the same level as evolution.
Whoa.
So catastrophic plate tectonics, that's on the same level as theistic evolution.
No. Okay, so have you copyrighted that line? Because I want to steal that one, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone say
Doug.
That. But boy, I'll tell you what, you can't put a finer point on it than what you just said. It really is on the same level. And we're going to get to a comment that was made on Facebook by a supporter of catastrophic plate tectonics that's going to prove your point that it's on the same level. So Fred, get that over to the copyright office. We want to make sure that RSR Media has all rights to that to that line. Catastrophic plate tectonics equals evolution. Oh. Yep.
And so for those just joining,
there's just as much biblical support for either one.
Yep.
And yeah.
So for those who haven't, who are not familiar, just joining our growing YouTube audience, and, you know, of course, we're on KLTT in Denver every Friday at 12:30 p.m., prime time noon slot. Dr. Walt Brown is what Bob Inyart referred to as a Sir Isaac Newton of this century. And a lot of people don't know about him, but he's got this flood model called the hydroplate theory. And it's, in my opinion, by far the best flood model. The competing model is catastrophic plate tectonics. So those are the two main ones that creationists have debated over the years. They used to be the canopy theory that almost all creationists believed. And it turned out Walt Brown was the first one to come along and say, well, this one has serious problems. And it kind of got him in hot water with some of the other creationists at the time. That's a whole nother story in itself. So then over time, this hydroplate theory got developed, and this other theory, catastrophic plate tectonics, was also developed in parallel. And one of the comments Bob wrote down at an ICC conference in the past was, the developer of the catastrophic plate tectonics, Dr. John Baumgartner, he said that he wanted to get plate tectonics into the Bible. Doesn't that sound familiar? I want to get millions of years. Now, he didn't say millions of years, but what about the theistic evolutionists who say, I want to get millions of years into the Bible? Well, guess what? Plate tectonics is a millions of years paradigm. No question about it. It's an old earth paradigm, and that's why the world, the secular world, loves it. And Brian, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to somebody, right?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know?
Yes. Yes. And by the way, Fred, the catastrophic plate tectonics model of Noah's flood and the events there are surrounding Noah's flood was really not developed in, I'm trying to remember exactly how you just said it, in parallel with the hydroplate theory. I would say that the catastrophic plate tectonics was really developed in parallel with the plate tectonics theory as it evolved. Walt Brown, as far as I am aware, Walt Brown developed his theory really in parallel with the Bible, mostly, which has always been the most attractive feature for me for the hydroplate theory, is the line after line after line of biblical support, verses from the Bible. At the front of the book, when I first read it, I was like, wow. I mean, I had never looked at it this way, and it just really, it points even an uninitiated, unbelieving reader who picks up that book and looks at those verses, you've just pointed them toward the Creator, which is the first step towards saving them from condemnation. And it's just been a blessing, the hydroplate theory, because of that biblical support. So I don't want to give the CPT guys any association with hydroplate theory, because it's too closely related to the Bible, and CPT is just, it's just out there.
And the thing is, they were developing plate tectonics and they didn't know what was in the ocean. You know, I was reading Walt Brown, and there's on that audiobook, that Week of Celebration, I'm reading some of Walt's stuff, and one of them is that how plate tectonics doesn't work. And he quotes from F. Christian Smoot, and he basically says this. He's the guy, this F. Christian Smoot, he mapped the ocean floor, and then he said it doesn't work, and he wrote this tectonic globaloney. And that's what the creationists took that secular model and sped it up.
Yeah, he was actually a believer in plate tectonics, and he worked for the U.S. Navy. He went and he was mapping out the ocean floor for the U.S. Navy, and it's all classified stuff at the time. And as time went on, he's like, wow, this isn't matching what plate tectonics should be here. Okay, well, maybe it's going to work over here. Oh, I just mapped this part here too. Nothing. There's nothing that's supporting plate tectonics. And so none of the predictions of plate tectonics came true, were bore about. And so this Christian Smoot, he wrote this book. What's the title of that book, Brian?
It's Tectonic Globaloney, Closing Arguments.
Yeah.
Tectonic Globaloney.
he's become a staunch critic of plate tectonics based on observation of what he saw on the ocean floor.
Yeah, and Walt Brown, in the new edition, they talk about this. I forget what page is on, but we're reading about it. You know, it's subduction doesn't work. We read about that. And you can see this stuff. If you like audio books, you go into Week of Celebration and then under In the Beginning by Walt Brown, and we're dropping one every day. So people can get their In the Beginning fix when they get their Bible fix in the mornings or whenever.
Oh, very nice. Now, wait a second now. Before you do that, or maybe after you do that, if you get a little taste, a little tease, we want to encourage you here at Real Science Radio to go to realscienceradio.com, rsr.org, and pre-order In the Beginning, the 9th edition. We will be shipping it very shortly, and you can special order it at a special price. I think, Fred, we're charging 3 times the retail so that you can help support Real Science Radio. No, we're not charging 3 times retail, but we have a special introductory pre-order price. Get the 9th edition, order it. We'll put the link down in the description on YouTube. And of course, it'll be at rsr.org. In the Beginning, 9.0. That's how we say it now. We don't say 9th edition anymore. It's 9G maybe. Is that how we say it now? 9G? Anyway, the 9th edition will be available for pre-order, is available now for pre-order at realscienceradio.org.
And that's store.rsr.org if you want a direct link. Store.rsr.org.
Store.rsr.org. Store.rsr.org.
But you can go to rsr.org and just click on the store.
And what's really a blessing is they make the flipbook available. And you can see that at hpt.rsr.org. At least I could yesterday. I couldn't today, but Fred can. And then also at creationsciencecenter.org. You'll be able to get that, look at it. But I encourage people to get the book because I was at Christmas and this book was on the couch. I was playing a game and it was on the couch. And my sister-in-law says, "Hey, is this your book?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "It has the answers." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And she says, I love science, but she got kicked out of youth group when she was in sixth grade because she asked about dinosaurs. And this is the third time that personal experiences where people, I said, "Well, what did they say when you asked about dinosaurs?" And they said, "Your questions are hurting the faith of the students." So they kicked her out. And this is the third time that dinosaurs have been confusing people. So we really have to button that up in the churches. Well,
Brian, that's you bring up a great point because a lot of Christians look at dinosaurs as a threat.
Right. Right.
They should be our friend.
Right. And so I explained it. It's like, hey, dinosaurs are land animals made on day 6. 2 of every kind got on the ark. They were small so they could get in the door. They got off and people called them dragons. And when I said dragons, you could see the light bulbs go on. And then I said, and people killed them and carved them in castles and temples. And yeah, they lived with people. And that's where we're really dropping the ball with the church. We have to get that on our, you know, we have to help people really understand what dinosaurs is. But this Hydroplate book, and that's, you know, one of the highlights of the week of celebration is I interviewed Bill Wells. I was like a kid in a candy store. All these people who knew Walt and had all these experiences, and he's a jet fighter pilot. And he says, you know, when he was a pilot, he was trained to use the weapons offensive and defensive, and he had total confidence in each of them. And he says, this Hydroplate theory is an incredible weapon for evangelism, for apologetics, and we're putting people out in the battlefield and they're not equipped. He says, we need to equip them with the Hydroplate theory so they can, you know, when they start talking about the evolutionists and the Big Bang, it's like, well, hey, what predictions have you made? You know, and so we can go on the offense and the defense if this gets out there. And once the Hydroplate theory gets out there, I think the Big Bang's done because the Hydroplate makes the predictions that they're finding in comets and asteroids. And Pastor Kevin Lee is so good at explaining that. And so, and he's going to be going full time in this. He's going to have hptuniversity.com, I think. And so as soon as that book gets out there, he's going to hit the ground running. And that's what we need to do. We need to gain as much ground as we can with the limited number of days we have here on Earth. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a big adventure. We're going to do the Hydroplate Theory Week of Celebration again next year. It'll be a week before Thanksgiving so people can do their Christmas shopping. They can get their merch that says "All Scientists Work for Walt Brown." Here's some mugs that, you know, it's like never underestimate the power of supercritical water. And just to get this into the mainstream. So, Brian, and so then you can spend your Christmas money in God's kingdom instead of the world's kingdom. So then we're going to be doing this again, and I'm going to be interviewing people, and I'd like to throw out this. We're going to do a decentralized creation ministry. We're sick and tired of waiting for the gatekeepers to tell us what we can and cannot think about. And so we're going to have a decentralized one, and we're going to interview people. It's like, hey, what progress have we made? But it was so much fun. And then the other thing that came from that Hydroplate theory was, you know, why is a theory that's making accurate predictions censored? I just can't wrap my hand around that. You know, the creation organizations do not do it. And what came out about this was, it's a scandal, really. If you go into Hydroplate Week of Celebration and just search blackballed, there's a clip from Pastor Kevin Lee's talk it's titled, "Why Was Walt Brown Blackballed?" And he says some plagiarism, that was in the past. And what I found out, too, was those documents are available. So you can see the letters because Walt Brown, he had the Grand Canyon experiment. He figured out that Grand Lake was the one that breached to form Grand Canyon. And somebody took that lake and said that, and he started teaching it. And Walt thought, you know, that's a compliment. You know, they're using my work.
Right.
And then they started to say that, oh, and then people would say, well, that's Walt Brown's work. And then the geologist said, well, Walt Brown stole it from me. And then he even let that go for a year or so. But then at Robert Gentry, they were going to make a hydroplate movie. And somebody said, well, you know, insinuated that Walt Brown plagiarized it. And so that, so then Walt had to act.
Wow.
And so then he said, you know, he went to the geologist, and you can see these letters. Go into hydroplate.org, go into hydroplate resources or something, and you go down and it's hydroplate controversy.
Right.
And then you can go there and you can click the documents page or HPT doc links, I think it is. And then you can see every one of the documents in chronological order.
Well, so Brian, because
who wrote what and when.
Okay, well, without documents, this just sounds like a soap opera and a he said, she said, but you say this is all documented.
Yep.
Okay, now I want to get back to your, you just made a point about a decentralized creationist movement. And
ministry,
reminds me, speaking of ministry, when the Apostle Paul founded churches across Turkey and Greece, he didn't set up a diocese. He didn't set up an office in Rome to run everything. He just set up local small churches run by local men who believed the gospel and loved the Lord. And creationism, everything associated with Christianity really has followed that pattern since the Apostle Paul. Creationism, unfortunately, there is an archdiocese involved apparently in creationism. I want to go to quickly Answers in Genesis posted a couple of weeks ago. They posted a beautiful graphic of a hand holding a Bible, and it says churches should stand on the Bible, not feelings. That's Answers in Genesis, to which everybody said, can I get an amen? And everybody said amen, right? Churches should stand on the Bible, not feelings. And then Brian Lauer, BC Lauer, whoever this guy is, he posts up on Facebook, churches should also reject secular ideas like evolution and plate tectonics. Why is a biblical theory that makes accurate predictions ignored? And then you post up a link to the YouTube for Hydroplate. First of all, just thank you for doing that because, you know, Answers in Genesis gets a lot of eyeballs being a part of the archdiocese up there. And so that was really nice that you brought people's attention to hydroplate theory. But then an interloper posted, and I'm sorry, a Nate Loper, I got that wrong. He posts up in response to you. He says, just a heads up for anyone unfamiliar with young earth creation beliefs. Nearly all creationists believe in plate tectonics, as do the geologists and scientists who work for the leading creation organizations. Mr. Lauer does not speak on behalf of the creation community, and we do not support such fringe theories. Neither does Answer in Genesis support the idea of hydroplate theory for its many scientific problems and overstatement of claims. Unquote. Mr. Loper, methinks thou doth protesteth too much. If Mr. Lauer's assertion is relatively ridiculous and rejected by how many? Oh, nearly all young earth creationists. Well, why pay any attention to it at all? Why not just move on, Mr. Loper? But he doesn't move on, does he? He has to stop and make an appeal to authority, which I think we all learned in ninth grade debate that that's a mistake. You can't just say everybody believes this because that means you're, well, that means you don't remember ninth grade debate. Maybe Mr. Loper forgot about ninth grade debate rules while he was off at college studying dirt shamanism, which that's what I call geology. He's a dirt shaman. He pretends he knows a bunch of stuff about the dirt when actually what geologists know about the dirt goes down about 6, maybe 18 inches on a good day. After that, it's pretty much all guesswork and shaman. They might as well be shaking chicken bones. And so, Brian, I had to respond to the interloper. I'm sorry, to Nate Loper. and I'll let folks go to the Answers in Genesis page. I don't know how you refer someone to a Facebook post. Maybe should I read
it? What's the date? Does it have the date on it?
I just responded right before. I just responded. It was a couple of weeks ago.
December 30th, 2025 at 5 p.m. If you find that on the Answers in Genesis timeline.
All right. Well, I just called Mr. Loper out for his appeal to authority and haven't heard back from him yet, but hopefully I will. And if I do, I'll update folks. But, you know, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. And that's what Mr. Loper reminds me of. Because, you know, when I'm discussing Christianity, the gospel, creationism on Facebook, and somebody says something really dumb and they're nobody, I don't stop and respond. I just move on, and I discuss things with people who have something to offer, who at least seem intelligent and informed on the subject. But Mr. Loper couldn't let your post just sit. He had
and apparently he speaks for the creation community, apparently.
Oh, that's what...
So apparently he does. I don't remember voting for him, but apparently he's got the infallibility of the creation movement. We all have to need to listen to him. And I disagree. I disagree. Let us think.
Amen.
If there's two theories out there, put them both up there so people can think. And I'm putting a challenge out there to all the creation museums and organizations. Who's going to be the one that does that first? You know? Who's going to be the one that says, you got two theories, let's let them both out there, and then you come to your conclusion instead of picking one and treating it as dogma, you can't question it, and then the other one, you'd call it fringe. And you notice he never did answer my question. Why is a theory that's making accurate predictions ignored? You know, yeah.
Wait a second. Let me. He said he did answer that. He did answer that.
Oh, by appeal to authority.
Well, there was the appeal to authority was his first answer, and then his second answer was what's called ad hominem, because he said it was a fringe theory.
Right. Well, my next question, yeah. In my comment, I asked him, well, what predictions does CPT make? And I asked the guy who made the model, you know, he's probably the biggest CPT guy out there, you know, what predictions do you make? What ones were accurate? You know, what biblical support do you have?
Oh.
And he said they didn't make predictions. And his biblical support was Genesis 6, 7, and 8, which is the flood.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't distinguish it from anybody else's.
And just to throw this in there, they believe in the fountains of the great magma, right? Now, when you hear the fountains of the great deep, do you think water or do you think lava?
Right.
And
yeah,
so...
Pete, he did a thing on a talk down in Houston, and he just clearly shows how fountains always refer to water in the Bible. Always.
Yeah.
Not magma. And yet they're taking that secular model and they're trying to squeeze it into the Bible, just like, you know, evolution. And I think that it's time for the decentralized creation movement to stand up and say, no, we're going to think on this ourselves. And I think
Amen.
If people start asking more questions at the museums and at speakers and posting on their boards and getting informed and informing others, I think this can be the battering ram that leads us out of the dark ages of consensus science.
Hold on, we got to copyright that one.
Neil deGrasse
Tyson, did you say?
Much,
I love
you know,
that.
If it's not consensus science, it's not true. You know, and that's kind of what's happening here. But Brian, I wanted to get back to something too. You said you're making an interesting claim that a flood model is refuting the Big Bang. Now that's pretty interesting. How does a flood model, a model that has to do with the fountains of the great deep, creating a whole bunch of water that floods the earth, you get all kinds of sediment, we get all kinds of fossils buried all over the place, and in many cases, miles deep sediment. A flood model, how is that refuting the Big Bang? And that's where, of course, I already know the answer, and this is where I love the hydroplate theory because of what it does in outer space. So
and
if
Pastor,
you can expand on that.
And Pastor Kevin Lee is so good at showing what NASA finds and then shows how it's not possible. Like there's one, they found a strange moon going around this Demetrius or whatever. And he says, and it's a contact binary. He says, impossible. Impossible. You know, and then he's got a quote from one of the NASA scientists. We're going to have fun trying to figure this out. And he goes, no, you're not. You're never going to figure it out unless you accept the hydroplate theory.
Yeah.
And so there's so many things that are just impossible with the Big Bang, and that the hydroplate theory is making accurate predictions, like what they'd find in a comet, what they'd find in an asteroid. And now NASA discoveries are finding stuff from Earth out there, but they won't think it came from Earth. It's some, you know, watery planet billions of years ago. And so, yeah, I think I'm really excited. You know, people should sign up for that HPT University. I think it's .com. And or .org, and that's going to be Pastor Kevin Lee, and that's what we really need. We need to get all that expertise recorded, and then we can destroy the Big Bang.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they really get into the lottery. Now, I've never bought a lotto ticket that I know of. Maybe I did a scratch thing once, because if you're really into that, you're bad at math. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but
it's a tax on people that can't do math.
We know a famous person. And he won a huge lottery. And that's astronaut Alan Shepard. He won the Earth Rock Lottery, didn't he? He found an Earth Rock on the moon that came from 20 kilometers beneath the Earth's surface, according to NASA, from a watery environment. That's where it came from. Yep. 20 miles beneath the Earth, or 20 kilometers, watery environment from Earth, and it's on the moon. Mm-hmm. And so Alan Shepard found that one rock. He won the Earth Rock Lottery. Or maybe there's a whole bunch of other rocks on the moon, you know, how the moon is pockmarked on the fronts on the near side, which is a testimony in itself that a whole bunch of material came from somewhere. Where would that come from? Maybe the nearby planet that it's orbiting, and it shot
the one made of water?
Yeah, a watery planet, and all this this rock ends up on the moon. And guess what? There's more than one rock, because Alan Shepard, you know, didn't win the Earth Rock Lottery. He found what one of many rocks that came back from the moon. And that's always been one of my favorite arguments for the hydroplate.
Yes.
Theory.
Oh, and by the way, Brian, before you go on, just to correct the record and make it clear, because it points to yet another one of Kevin Lee's brilliant observations regarding hydroplate theory, the contact binary is Itokawa that he was discussing, not to be confused with Dimorphos, which was the one that Kevin predicted would be confirmed to be a floating rock pile, which it was in real time, on film, on camera, in front of God and everybody. We all saw it. Just so everybody's clear on those.
Yeah, so NASA's just throwing billions of dollars down the tube because they got the wrong perspective of the past. If they'd listened to Pastor Lee, and he told them, he warned them that a DART mission, you know, when they redirect an asteroid, you know, it'd work if it's a solid rock, but he said it'll fail if it's a bunch of boulders, and it turns out to be a bunch of boulders. And so they got the wrong perspective of the past, and we have the right perspective of the past. But, you know, you're talking about the moon rock. They don't put that in the textbooks. You know, I went through the 2024 textbooks, and it said that the Earth's oldest rock was found by Hudson Bay in 2008, when actually in 2019, NASA said that Earth's oldest rock was found on the moon. You know, we need the truth. If we would unite around the truth, I think that we could make a big impact. You know, when you read those documents, the controversy documents, Walt Brown did a summary of the mediation, you know, that he explains what happened there. And in one part, he talks about the book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, or something like that. And he said that there's three stages of maturity. There's dependence, then there's independence, and then there's interdependence. And that's what I'm hoping we can do this year, is we can reconcile this situation so that the people can work together instead of fighting each other. You know, you got two independent places here, but if they got together, man, it's game over. If you take Walt Brown's theory with the big creation organist bullhorn, you know, it's game over. And then if you have the display in the museums, like, look at all these, you know, these accurate predictions from the hydroplate. You know, and the secularists don't have that. And that's one of the questions I want people to start asking whenever you hear a speaker. It's like, well, what predictions have you made? What predictions are true? What are your current predictions? And Walt Brown writes in his book, he says, if people don't make predictions, they don't have confidence in their theory. If they don't make predictions, it's weak science. That's what we need to start holding their feet to the fire and start doing real science instead of consensus science. Because, you know, I heard a creationist speak one time, and I asked him, and during Q&A, I asked, well, what about the hydroplate? What do you think? And he says, it doesn't work. And I said, well, why not? And he said, it breaks laws of physics. So I asked, well, which laws of physics? And he said, I don't know, but the geologists that I know don't go along with the hydroplate. which is real similar talking to an evolutionist.
How about, I was going to say, right?
You know, creation doesn't work. Why not? Well, because the biologists I know don't go along with it.
Just embarrassing.
So again, we just have to start asking questions. We don't have to argue. We just ask questions that they can't answer. And hopefully it'll cause them to wake up at night and start Amen. Thinking maybe there is something to this hydroplate theory.
Yeah, and point out the predictions. You know, even God through the prophets said, can your gods tell you the things that have happened before? And can he tell you the things that are going to happen? So predictions are a completely reasonable and really should be expected from any theory of whether it's flood origins, biology, cosmology. There should be some predictions that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's three pages of them in the new book that Hydroplate 9.0. If you go into that flip book and it's on page 447, you go into that creationsciencecenter.org and then you get the clip book and then just type in the page number and it's 447 and there's 59 predictions and they've got 10 of them that are confirmed and there's a couple that might be. And then you can also, another place to get the predictions is going to hydroplate.org under Hydroplate Resources, it'll say predictions. And Fred McNabb, he went through that list and he found about 20 of them that he feels are confirmed. And they did a hit piece on the hydroplate at CRSQ saying that olivine could not be from Earth. You know, they find it in the comets, so they tried to discredit the hydroplate. And so I did write a letter to the editor and I said, you know, your attempts to discredit the hydroplate actually pointed out another accurate prediction that Walt Brown made.
Because
he predicted they'd find olivine in space by 2001 and NASA didn't find it until 2005. And that's one that's not in the list that's in the book. So there's a lot of predictions that are coming true or that they're discovering based on this hydroplate theory. And the longer we kick it to the curb, the longer we keep it censored from impacting the world, the more people are going to believe those blind chance or secular models squeezed into the Bible. And that's what that one, my sister-in-law, I said this, I was talking about her, I gave her a hydroplate update, and I said something to the effect of, you won't see this in the museums. And she goes, oh, this isn't the mainstream stuff? And I said, no. And she said, good, because I've looked at it and it didn't make sense. So this hydroplate, it's a powerful witnessing tool. It's a powerful way to teach, and kids love thinking. You know, I talked to a lot of students at St. Cloud State, and they know what to think, but they don't know how, kind of. And they enjoy it when they have the ability to think. They don't like memorizing. They want to think. So as Christians, we should have that in our museums. Here's two flood models. Here's what, here's the strengths and weaknesses of each one. Then you come to your own conclusion. And we're trying to get that. There's an open mic at Standing for Truth. That's a YouTube channel. An open mic for any catastrophic plate tectonic guy to come in and have a roundtable discussion about the strengths and weaknesses of each one. And we've been working on that for about a year.
Yeah,
and
they that's will a not great channel, by the way, microphone. Standing for Truth. Yeah, we should try to keep pushing for that. So, Brian, your sister-in-law, you said, she was glad to find the hydroplate book because the secular science doesn't make any sense. It's contradictory. And we've got this list of predictions. But speaking of predictions, I have a prediction. I have a prediction that my finger will be hitting this red button really soon.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so, Fred.
It's time for the interesting fact of the week.
Okay, Fred. Well, not to delay the inevitable, but before we get to the interesting fact of the week, the interesting fact of the week this week is sponsored by James Enright, Choice Brokers. Do you need insurance? Do you need insurance? All of us have to have it at some point. So when you need the best rates, let James Enright show you why a broker is better than an agent. He'll shop the top insurers for the best rates on auto, home, life, or business policies. He'll find what fits you the best. James leads Choice Insurance Brokers at choicebrokersinc.com. You can call him at 720-523-8822 or hit the link in the show description at rsr.org. That's James Enright, Choice Brokers, choicebrokersinc.com. Call 720-523-8822. Google James Enright or go to choicebrokersinc.com.
So here we go. The interesting fact of the week.
Oh, no.
So, Doug, Which planet has the strongest winds in the solar system? Which planet has the strongest winds in the solar system?
Okay, I think I know this one, and it's based on simple geometry. And it's only because it's the largest one, and I think that it's Jupiter.
Well, Brian, you're nodding your head, yes? Okay.
I would agree.
Okay.
Oh!
The planet with the strongest winds in the solar system,
Venus,
is Neptune.
Neptune?
And the winds can reach up to 1,200 miles per hour.
Neptune.
So those winds surpass Jupiter.
All
so
right.
My prediction was correct.
Well, listen, I
got to hit the red.
So I have not been to Jupiter, nor have I been to whatever planet that is that you just mentioned there. Was it Neptune? Okay, I haven't been to Neptune either. So, but I'm going to take your word for it, Fred, and because I'm usually wrong about things like that.
Well, Jupiter has that big eye of the storm that's going around, so it has to be faster than
that's,
that.
I think that might have been what I was thinking about, Brian, was that giant hurricane that's always going there on Jupiter.
Wow.
But okay, so look, don't simple geometry, no.
Well, okay. I'm going to throw a challenge flag in there.
There's a whole lot of yellow card. There you go.
All right. So feel free to Google. The audience can reach out if you want. If you dispute our interesting fact of the week, you know, let us know. Yeah. And, you know,
if there's anybody who's been to Jupiter or Neptune and can report back on the wind conditions, we'd be happy to take a weather report from you. Thank you for that, Fred. May I have another?
Yeah. Okay, so everybody, we are here talking with Brian Lauer, and the latest version of the Hydroplate Theory book, Walt Brown's In the Beginning. It's going to have a different cover, by the way. This is the 8th edition. And we're looking forward to that. We will have that in the store at Real Science Radio at store.rsr.org. You can pre-order it now. And that thing will be going out soon. It's going to be, it's great that the 9th edition has finally made it here.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's other things falling in place, too. There's going to be an e-newsletter that people can sign up for that if you go into hydroplate.org. And there's also, if people want to donate to the cause, there's a Give, Send, Go page called Hydroplate Action. And that's for people who want to spread the Hydroplate to everybody, you know, all around the world. That's where the focus is. It's spreading the message. It's not selling books, but it's the message that we're going to have a biblical model, allow people to think, and then we can destroy the Big Bang.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to be exciting. We're going to do that Hydroplate Week of Celebration again next, and it'll be interesting. It'll be very exciting to see what progress gets made this year.
Yes. And RSR Media will be providing a Basics of the Hydroplate Theory, a booklet.
That's right.
Summarizes the Hydroplate Theory, and we're looking forward to that being published soon.
That's right. Just so folks know, the galleys of the RSR Media Hydroplate Summary Booklet, which is going to take the, how many pages is the 9th edition? 400 and
600.
Some odd?
It's 600
and some odd.
Yeah.
600 and some odd pages. To kind of boil it down into what, Fred, 90, 100 pages?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, we'll boil it down.
50 to 70. But just to mention, Walt Brown, before I even was a fan of the Hydroplate Theory, his book has a whole opening section, which really good details and quotes of just evidence for creation in general. To me, it was always the best creation book just for that alone. It was one of the best out there of how well put together the book is, just for all of the arguments for creation and for an earth that isn't millions of years old, a earth that I think is old. I think the earth being 6,000 years, maybe 7,000, that's pretty old.
Pretty old.
That's real old to me, Doug.
Yeah.
So it also has all the evidence that contradicts this millions of years, dinosaurs living millions of years ago. It's got great evidence in it. The Hydroplate Theory is probably what, maybe half the book, Brian. It does take up a lot, but there's so many cool things about the Hydroplate Theory.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you can get a lot of great content before you even get to that section. So this isn't just a Hydroplate Theory book.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Walt's done so much research, and it's all, you know, it's footnoted. There's so many sources in there, probably 1,000 of them, I would guess, of secular models that makes the case for creation and a worldwide flood. And it's really interesting. I can't wait for the book to come out, because then you can do hydroplate surfing, because you read and he'll refer to a footnote or a page number, and you go over there and you read that, and you just keep going all over. It's a education in itself, and it's very, very, and it colors in the details. You know, when I heard, that's another thing, RSR.org, Walt Brown Week, when Bob Enyart interviewed Walt Brown, that colored in the details on, you know, somebody had connected the dots where evolution's false and creation's true and fossils are a sign of a flood, and that connected the dots. But then when I heard Walt Brown explain his hydroplate theory, that colored in the details, and my life's never been the same. And then all the new discoveries, you know, another working for Walt Brown discovery. It's a tremendous
blessing. And let's remind our audience, too, Dr. Walt Brown had a PhD from MIT. His dissertation was on heat transfer, so he knows all about any kind of heat problems that they tried to put on the hydroplate theory. He was also the director and team lead of 40 PhD scientists, and I know from my career in engineering, you don't get to that position without a lot of respect from your peers, and with the respect of being incredibly competent. He was very competent at what he did. He did real-world work as an engineer, and so he is probably the best credentialed creationist that I know of. And yet you do have this problem, Brian, of the attempt to censor
his
theory. And that's what we're here for.
They'll say he's not a geologist. Well, guess what? He studied under Bob Dietz, who's the guy who came up with, one of the guys who came up with the plate tectonics. Yeah. And they met every week and they compared flood models. You know, so he got a very good geology education. And I'm hoping that's what can happen in the creation movement. We can have competing models, you know, different models, that's and we can be friends, you know, and we can talk about them and express and just absolutely try to unite around the truth, not unite around selling books.
Yep. Well, thanks, Brian. It's always a pleasure to have you on Real Science Radio. Do you have anything else coming up? Any conferences, talks? Yeah, I know you're the creationist bulldog out there.
On Thursday, we have our local creation club, and you can see these talks on my YouTube channel called Solidify Your Faith. And we just start at the basics. Had some debates with evolutionists and paleontologists about Grand Canyon. I'll debate anybody anytime with Grand Canyon. Walt's got that one down. Yeah, that one's right.
Absolutely.
And I'll be going to the homeschoolers again this year, like you recommended, and I may be going to a creations conference too. And basically, I want to talk to colleges and curriculum directors and see which one's going to be the first one to let their students think about flood models.
Yeah.
You know, that shouldn't be a controversial thing. People should be allowed to think about competing models.
Yeah.
And whoever does that first, I think, is going to have a big feather in their cap when people look back on history. It's like, okay, these are the guys who led us out of the dark ages of consensus science.
Yeah.
You know, you can see some of it happening.
Yeah, and a model that goes up into outer space and a lot of cosmological aspects, if I'm saying that right, astronomical aspects.
Yeah. So,
but I love your take, Brian, that it's it puts an end to the Big Bang, too. A flood model of all things really puts a nail in the coffin of the Big Bang. So just go to YouTube and Solidify Your Faith. Look it up and you'll find Brian Lauer's channel. And again, thank you very much, Brian, for being on the show. Really great always having you as a guest.
Amen.
So
much fun being with you guys, and it's a way to blaze the trail for the creationists to follow. Appreciate it. Well,
thank you. So for my co-host, Doug McBurney, and creation evangelist and bulldog, Brian Lauer, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
In